I was just watching. Solana started the last headlines, the 3 o'clock hour headlines with Daniel Jones. And I'm just watching on Adam Schefter's Twitter right now a statement from Daniel Jones. Did you see that, Solana?
I did.
He's wearing the red jersey. He's kind of saying goodbye, even though they haven't released him. It's kind of like, hey, I tried my hardest, and I understand changes need to be made, and I've still got good football ahead of me, and seems like he's saying goodbye. I can't imagine he's going to be around much longer. You don't usually say farewell if you think you have 10 more games left with your teammates.
Hey, Hawk, if Kader Kohu becomes a scout team tight end, pretty much the end of his career with the Dolphins.
If like
you're a starting quarterback playing scout team safety.
If they name me host 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. on this radio station, yeah, or on 790 El Libre. Yeah.
This old Hawkman and Crowder run might have came to an end.
Then I know. Yesterday, by the way, I talked about Whiskey Stars and Cigars, and we had such a great time, and there's, you know, pictures all over social media and video as well. I didn't even tell you, Crowder. So we had these panels where we had a stage set up outside, and the panels would, you know, talk about, you're supposed to talk about sports. I did the panel with Joe and Leroy. I don't know. We didn't really talk any sports. We just kind of effed around. But there was a panel before us with Solana and Brendan Tobin and Hollywood, and they were talking sports. I was out there briefly to watch a little bit. Anyway, when they bring up our panel, so it's me and Joe and Leroy Horde, and as our panel starting, I said, you know what? I'd like to acknowledge some special people out there in the crowd. K-Raj was there, you know, Josh Appel, the Ticket Wizard, and Jay Figg, and, you know, on down the line. But I wanted to acknowledge Eduardo Solana. Solana's dad was there. And he was, you know, he's in his element. And I said, in fact, Eduardo, how about you come up to the stage and just welcome everybody in Spanish? And you don't have to ask Eduardo twice. You know how some people would be like, oh, no, go ahead, do your thing. You don't have to ask him twice. Comes up to the stage, takes the microphone from me, does a little welcome in Spanish, and then launches into a monologue about the World Cup and how important it is that it's coming to America and South Florida specifically. And I'm not lying. Solana, he launched into a monologue that would have gone for 20 minutes had you not realized what was going on and stepped in.
I looked over at Len because how this started, Crowder, was why doesn't this radio station talk about soccer more? Why don't we do more soccer shows? There's no soccer shows on this radio station. The World Cup is coming.
And was that a conversation that you were having just with your dad and Len?
No, that's how he started his monologue with you. He grabbed the mic.
Oh, but I didn't know if that I didn't know if that was because you guys were having a conversation, because I never mentioned soccer when he came up.
It just seems like he's been holding on to that for a while. Like he likes gotcha. Listening to our show a little bit, but he wants to talk about why Messi was such a big disappointment this year. Like he wants to talk about, you know, the South American qualifiers. He wants to do soccer shows. That's what he thought he was coming on, and how I pitched it to him when he was coming on with us. And he genuinely believes that we should be.
Did he know he was picking Cavs Celtics lines?
But Crowder, I mean, this went on for a good, like, I have a video of it, a good minute and a half, and at one point I yelled out to Hawk, you feel good about what you just did? Because my dad is just rambling about the World Cup and how important it is that our listeners should be getting more soccer talk, so I just had to go up there, grab the mic from him, and walk him off the stage.
He did. He literally walked up, he just took the mic from him, handed it to me, and just kind of walked him away. And I was enjoying it, obviously. And Leroy was on the floor. Leroy said that was his dad to a T. And he goes, and by the way, if you tried to take the mic from my dad, punches are being thrown. Because you gave him the mic, you are not taking the mic.
You gave me a platform, baby. I'm gonna take advantage of it.
He was. I loved it, man. I I've told you this before. I like someone who can control a microphone, control a room. It's one of the reasons that, you know, I like watching you when you're doing the comedy stuff, because it takes someone special to be able to walk into any scenario and control the room with, you know, your voice.
Yeah.
And Eduardo's got it, man. I loved it. He came up there. I mean, he didn't stumble, mumble, anything. Just launched into this monologue. I was upset that Solana cut him off. I was enjoying the hell out of it. Joe didn't know what the hell was going on, by the way.
I think this Alejandro was a little jealous, to be honest.
I said it. Didn't I say that from the stage, that I think Solana doesn't want to share the spotlight with anyone else in his family?
The thing is, there's three Solanas at this event, all believing that they're the big star of the Solanas.
100% true.
Because my brother's there petitioning to get his own soccer show with Len. I didn't know what world I was in. I'm like, did you guys come out here to support me, or did you all come out here to land your own deals?
Daniel's walking around with a resume and Swisher Sweets, which I was thrilled with because I got the grape Swisher Sweets from it. Yeah, it was funny, man. It was such a good event.
This was a job fair for the Solanas.
It was a Solana job fair.
who makes decisions around here? Hey, Lynn.
That's funny. That's great. Anyway, good time last night. Thank you to everyone who came out. Let's get headlines. We're going to give away Post Malone tickets. Again, Post Malone coming to Hard Rock Stadium next year. We've got a pair of tickets every day to give away. It's a Live Nation show. Keep listening. We will give away a pair this hour, if I remember. If not, sometime before 6 o'clock. Let's get headlines for the 4 o'clock hour with Alejandro Solana.
All right, guys. We'll start with the Miami Dolphins, of course. They host the New England Patriots this Sunday, 1 p.m. kickoff at Hard Rock Stadium. I'll remind everybody that is going to the game. The Dolphins are calling this a whiteout, so they want all fans to wear white on Sunday.
The injury report just got released, too.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you saw it.
I did not.
Let's see. Did not practice today. Teron Armstead, Calais Campbell, and Kendall Fuller, and neither of them practiced yesterday. So I would imagine Armstead and Campbell, though, are probably good to go. Yeah. Kendall Fuller, probably not. Limited in practice today. Alec Ingold, Benito Jones, Robert Jones, Jordan Poyer, Isaiah Wynn. And then also listed on the injury report, but had full practices today. Aaron Brewer, Jordan Brooks, Julian Hill, Tyreek Hill, Javon Holland, Jalen Ramsey, Raheem Mostert, although we don't know what he'll end up doing anyway.
Yeah. Healthy scratch. It's the craziest thing in the world.
I don't think he'll be a healthy scratch. I think he'll start, or I'm sorry, I think he'll be active for all these games, because like even Jalen Wright, I think I saw in the last 10 carries he has 8 yards, or his last 8 carries he has 10 yards. He hasn't exactly been excellent when getting handoffs, but I think Mike McDaniel had to send a message to Raheem Mostert, like, bro, you cost us 2 games. You screwed
us. I really do think, like I said it before with DBJ, you're at this point, style points, like you said, don't matter. Like, get the dubs. Well, if a dude is coughing up the football and you have to rack up dubs right now, you just can't afford it. And so if you've got a couple running backs who are capable of doing that without fumbling, as much as you love Mostert and what he did last season, like, you just can't risk it.
It's wild because it was years and years of ball security out of him.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened 3 games ago. It's just he's just coughing up the ball. I don't know if somebody saw something or – some team started watching film and said, hey, when he's doing this or that, but I never was concerned with him fumbling. Now moving forward, it's on the back of my mind when he gets to ruck.
Of course, the Miami Hurricanes.
And he's the biggest one back there. I'd be worried about A-Chan. He's smaller. Yeah, he's a smaller dude. You worry about his ball security, but he never damn fumbles.
Yeah. The Hurricanes, of course, will host Wake Forest Saturday. That'll be a noon kickoff. Canes hoops lost to Drake 80-69 today, so they're going to play tomorrow at 2 p.m. in the Charleston Classic. They'll play the loser of Oklahoma State and Florida Atlantic in the consolation side of the bracket.
Hey, and back to football, sorry, because when you said it, I wrote this note down, and we didn't get into it with DBJ. We were messing around. I know they just need to win. I agree with that. When Wake Forest beat Syracuse, ACC, you're in the playoff. The three ranked teams that Wake Forest played, Notre Dame beat them by 38, Clemson beat them by 35, and Ole Miss beat them by 34. Just to think about them being
eked by a point.
and you get in the playoffs, but thinking about you will probably have to play Notre Dame or a team that beat Notre Dame or one of those teams. You should beat the living hell out of Wake Forest if you really think you can compete in that playoff.
Well, they're 25-point favorites, and I do agree with you. But bottom line, for me, no one is going to remember how many you beat Wake Forest by when it comes down to it. You've got to make the final game of the season, which is against Syracuse and Aronde Gadsden's son. Mm-hmm. You've got to make the final game of the season worth everything, which is a great way to end a season. You get to the final game, and hey, if you win this game, you're in the championship, the ACC championship. And so it starts with a victory over a much lesser team this Saturday. I'm with you, but I don't think by the end you get to the Syracuse week. If you've beaten them, I don't really think it matters if you've beaten them by 1, 20, or 50. While I'd like to see them cover, you just got to get to that Syracuse game and have it be for all the marbles.
Yeah. Ain't no way I'm laying 25.
I don't think there's a lot of Canes fans that'll lay 25 on this one.
No.
They should just rout them, though, right? How do you follow up a loss after a bye week to prepare for Wake? Final Cam Ward home game, by the way.
Yeah, senior day, and if you want Cam Ward to win the Heisman,
yeah,
man, you got to put up a couple games with spectacular numbers. Like, I'm with you. Put up a 70 burger. Do 600 yards through the air, be up 38-0 and passing in the third quarter deep.
I don't know if it's media or not, but I'm doubting Cam can win the Heisman now with Travis Hunter and that damn Jenty.
He'd have to put up two spectacular games. Spectacular.
Yeah, to your point, I don't know about 600, but four. Something like that, four touchdowns, 380, 400 yards, no interceptions, beat them by 38, like something like that, something crazy.
Ryan Clark's on NFL Live right now just wearing a black polo.
Hmm.
Looks like Leroy Horde at Whiskey Stars and Cigars last night, just a little polo shirt.
Man, he must have lost his bag. 'Cause he got some weird stuff in that bag. He never goes home. He brings like three checked bags with him everywhere.
Really? Yeah, he's always on the road, I guess.
He goes from Pivot to Inside NFL to ESPN to NFL Live to New York to Connecticut. He goes home like twice a month.
Speaking of the Heisman, you guys saw Travis Hunter confirmed he's going pro after this season. So he's not that anybody had any doubts about it, but he's not going back to Colorado.
Did Colorado got that star quarterback to flip?
Yeah. And that means Shador's leaving. And I saw this today. Please just let me explain this to people. There is no way, no how, no way in the hell Travis Hunter can play offense and defense in the league consistently. Can he do what Deion did and play receiver on a couple snaps? He cannot run 60 plays of offense and 60 plays of defense in the NFL. He'll be hurt every other game.
I was going to say, unless he only wants to play three seasons.
I saw that pop up. The TV was on mute, and I saw the question on the bottom of the line. I was like, man, these people are crazy.
So what's he going to play? Is he going to be a DB?
He's a better cornerback than he is receiver.
Yeah.
No, you put him in on some third downs. Think about how many third downs are there every game? 14?
Maybe, yeah.
Like, put him out there on some third downs or put him in some kind of package. But to him consistently be on both sides of the ball, to Hawk's point, his career would be shortened and he'd get hurt.
And people are going to be hunting for him, too, on either side of the football, right? Just because of who he is and, like, how high profile he is, they're going to be hunting for him, especially if he's a receiver.
Yeah, and all the top receivers are going to want to go against him. Oh, he's that good? Okay. Justin Jefferson walks out there. Hey, Travis, come on over here, man. Line right up here in front of me. Yeah, man, it's a different level. Half the receivers that he plays wouldn't even start in D2. They play some questionable teams now. Travis can't do that at the highest level of football.
We didn't talk about this yesterday, but there were 25 players named to the semifinalist list of the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2025. Crowder, I believe Fred Taylor is on that list again.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys. Steve Smith Sr., Adam Vinatieri, Jared Allen, Terrell Suggs. Richmond Webb down here for Miami is on that list as well. The one that I find very interesting, maybe if we have time we can ask Ben Bolin about it, is Eli Manning. It's his first chance at being a Hall of Famer. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, come on, Hawk. Come on.
I just don't. I know he's got the hardware. I mean, one of the Super Bowl rings came on a 9-7 season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't get there with him.
Hawk, he's not going to be first ballot. He shouldn't even look at the list when they go to break it down to 5 or whatever, or 10, because he won't make it this year. If his name was Eli Rutherford, he wouldn't make it.
Right.
He is Archie's boy. He's Peyton's brother. He's famous as hell.
He's got 2 Super Bowl rings.
He's going to make it sooner or later.
But
he's going to make it sooner or later.
Yeah, I guess so.
Doesn't it matter, though, who those 2 Super Bowl rings came against? Literally the greatest upset in Super Bowl history, beating that undefeated New England Patriots team with maybe the biggest play in Super Bowl history. He's a part of it. And he beat Tom Brady again.
Not only who the Super Bowls came against, but who the Super Bowl wins came for, which is New York. I mean, yeah. New York is always going to have more media members, more voters. I mean, there's just the epicenter of everything.
But not first ballot. First ballot is supposed to mean something. Yeah.
Man, I hope he gets it. That'll be so much fun. People will be so mad. People will be so bad. Tom Brady will be pissed, too. I hope he gets it.
It just can't. All right. The names you named are better than him at their job than he was at his job.
Yeah. There's a lot of really good, like Jared Allen, Terrell Suggs, Antonio Gates. Like they're Vince Wilfork, James Harrison, Torrey Holt, Reggie Wayne, Rodney Harrison. Like every single one of these guys,
come on,
I feel like deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Eli, don't even book no flight. Just take it easy, go on vacation. Antonio Gates was a bad man.
Yeah.
Antonio should be. He's the one on that list that got to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Now you couldn't cover him.
I couldn't.
that's why Crowder's talking. Yeah. Crowder needs him to be a first ballot Hall of Famer because it makes all the times he got beat by him little easier to stomach.
I couldn't shine the tires of his truck. I couldn't do anything worth it. Coach, we got trouble. What's that? Antonio's on my side. It's over for me.
Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates. Anytime Crowder saw those guys, he's like,
nightmares.
YB, where you at, bro? I need your help.
And crazy Algie Crumpler whooped my ass,
Algie
too.
Crumpler.
I don't know what happened in that game. It might have been the Jack Daniels. I don't know, but yeah, Algie ate me up. I'm trying to look at Michael Vick, Ward Doug coming out the backfield. Algie, where's Algie?
You were the mark playing the Falcons in 2007.
You can't see the mark at the table.
Uh-huh.
You're the mark.
Is everybody running my direction?
One other local note here. The Panthers play the Chicago Blackhawks tonight at 8:30 p.m. And I should mention Browns host the Steelers, 8:15. Steelers, 3.5-point favorites in the game tonight. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. It's like 77 degrees right now in Miami. The low tonight and into tomorrow is going to get to like 58, 59.
Ooh, yeah. Love it.
Yeah, it's going to be cold for the next couple days during the morning. That's your weather.
Ben Volen from the Boston Globe is going to join us next.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I'm just saying that I'm Hawk. We talk Tua. Hawk Tua.
Hawk and Crowder.
Ben Volen from the Boston Globe is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. If you're looking, by the way, for Dolphins or Canes merch, check out Caneswear in Davie, University Drive, or caneswear.com. Ben Volen covers the NFL for the Boston Globe. His New England Patriots will be in town Sunday to take on the Miami Dolphins. Hello, Ben.
Yes, my Patriots will be in town to visit your Dolphins on Sunday.
How are you received in Boston? Because, you know, you covered the Dolphins for a while, and I think people liked you down here, from what I recall. Then you've gone up to Boston, and you come on here, Dolphins fans absolutely despise you every time you come on the show. You wanted Mac Jones over Tua. I mean, you've got a bunch of stuff in your arsenal that annoys Dolphins fans. How are you received in Boston by Patriots fans?
Oh, there are plenty of Patriots fans who I annoy greatly as well. I kind of break it down to, like, the normal fans that you see in everyday life. I think enjoy my work and read my columns and like what I bring to the table, where I'm not just writing kind of Homer content all the time. But then the internet world, like Twitter and like Barstool, and like these people just don't like me because, I don't know, I guess I don't cheerlead enough for the Patriots or whatever, but it's all in good fun. And it's better to be hated than to have them ignore you. So that's that. At least either way, at least they're paying attention.
True that.
Hey, Ben, if you ain't got no haters, you're not doing nothing. You're not doing something right. That's what I always say. Ben, through all your career, here, down here, up there, through your career, has like, in like you say, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff, people just can type it. Has any fan ever confronted you face-to-face about something?
Kind of. I had a funny experience almost 10 years ago now where I was out in public at night with my wife, actually. We're going to see a band. And we're waiting in line outside this club, and you know, this like college kid comes, and we talk, and he's like, "Oh, you know, hey, let's talk Patriots and whatever." And you know, we talk about the game tomorrow, and he's like, "What do you think?" I'm like, "Oh, they're playing the Eagles. They stink. The Patriots should be able to handle them." Kid was really nice. We had a nice conversation. Went our separate ways. The next day, the Patriots suffer this surprising loss to the Eagles. It was a really bad loss. And I see on Twitter, I met this jerk Ben Volen yesterday, and this clown thought they were going to win. And he just starts, like, ripping me left and right. I'm like, what the heck did I do? Like, where is this coming from? And then a funny postscript, I, like, 3 years later, randomly at Logan Airport, I'm sitting there, and a kid comes up to me. He's like, "Hey, I don't know if you remember me." I was like, "Oh, yeah, you're that kid I saw online that one day." He's like, "Yeah, I said some mean things about you on Twitter. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean that." And so another example of how when you see someone in person, they're super nice, but then when they get on Twitter, they're the keyboard warriors, and they let loose with all the insults.
I can one-up you there. The executive producer of this show, Alejandro Solana, I've learned since, I mean, this is years later, but when I was on the Levitard show, would constantly tweet about what a waste I am, what a loser I am. Nobody cares about my opinions. And only recently have all these tweets been unearthed from Solana just crushing me every time I crack the mic on Levitard show.
I mean, Ben, how many times do I have to hear about the Mount Rushmore, Fort Lauderdale area restaurants? We get it. You like Jay Alexander's, Hawk. We gotcha.
I mean, if you go back through his old Twitter, he loves Josh Friedman and the Frito show and could not stand me. Probably still can't stand me, but now he kind of is forced to stand me.
Getting that check.
any that really makes Solana like turn red in embarrassment?
No, he loves that. the harsher, the better. He loves that. Now he just says it to my face. now there's no holds barred.
Disrespectful.
Let's talk a little Dolphins-Patriots here. Dolphins have won two in a row. And to be quite honest, I thought they looked decent in their losses to Arizona and Buffalo, you know, since Tua's been back. Can you buy them as a playoff team?
Yeah, I think you can, because in Roger Goodell's, you know, NFL, seven playoff teams, 17 games is all designed to keep teams alive, you know, longer than possible. And, you know, that seventh playoff seed right now, you know, Denver has it, but it's still up for grabs, and there's six, seven games left in the season. So I could see the Dolphins going on a little run. They got the Patriots Sunday. They still have two games against the Jets. I mean, they can only afford like maybe one more slip up. They're going to really have to go on a run, but it is possible. And you know, the Chargers, the Broncos, the Bengals, the Colts, like there's still some spots up for grabs. It's not all settled yet.
And Ben, with the Dolphins, like, and it's so funny that everybody talk about the Dolphins. They say, oh, well, Tua stays healthy. If Tua stays healthy, it's that way with a lot of damn NFL teams. But with him being back now, I was like, it was 23, 23, 27, you know, 30. Like, what's the concerns that you have with the Dolphins? Like you're saying, if they can't have too many slip-ups, what's your concerns with watching the Dolphins where if they go play the top teams? And, hell, I'm throwing the Steelers in there now, too. But we know the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bills, the Steelers, those teams, what would their biggest concerns be?
I mean, I was watching that Rams game a couple weeks ago, and I wasn't totally thrilled with the Dolphins' offensive line and the way that they were protecting Tua. And I didn't think Tua looked all that great either. And so I'd be concerned. You know, I don't think the offense is necessarily clicking on high cylinder, you know, on all cylinders yet. And I don't know if it's going to be. You know, I think Tua, he just hasn't looked quite right compared to previous years. Hasn't, you know, the offense hasn't looked as dominant as it has in years past. And it's almost like, you know, with Tua going on injured reserve and missing all that time, it's almost like they have to start from scratch again when he came back. And they're just now starting to build up some timing. And, you know, those were good wins over the Rams and the Raiders the last couple of weeks. But I still think the offensive line is going to be an issue for the Dolphins. And, you know, Tua, I just don't know how high of a level he's playing at this year. And I think, you know, that if not for the defense, I don't think they would have won that game against the Rams the other day. And, you know, we'll see now against the Patriots. I think this is going to be a tricky game for the Dolphins. I was looking, I don't think they've beaten them like a runaround mobile quarterback all year. They've lost to Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, and there's one, Anthony Richardson, too. So they've kind of struggled with the mobile quarterbacks, and Drake May has definitely proven to be slippery. So that'll be an interesting challenge for the Dolphins on Sunday.
Who would you rather have as your quarterback moving forward, Drake May or Tua Tagovailoa?
Great question. I promised you before, Hawk, that I had a hot take. Here it is. It's extra spicy. I got to be honest, trying to not be a homer, just trying to look at this realistically, like, you know, who would I rather have? Going forward, I think Drake May is the better quarterback.
Oh,
I think Drake May's upside is so much higher right now.
Come on, man.
You are just scratching the surface with Drake May. He's making plays with no offensive line, with no receivers. He's running around like a one-man band out there. He's playing really impressively. His game against the Rams the other day, a lot of people were really blown away by how well he played, especially guys on the Rams. They were very impressed with Drake May. And you put a little talent around him, I think the Patriots could have something. So I think it's bad news for the Dolphins.
And
I think the Patriots have found something with Drake May.
Ben, come on. You didn't learn your lesson with Mac Jones?
Guys, Drake May is like 10 times the quarterback that Mac Jones is. I'm not joking.
I'm 10 times the quarterback Mac Jones was.
I'm telling you, Drake May is a baller. Drake May can make plays. Mac Jones never was the quarterback, could never do the things on the field that Drake May does, especially with as little help as Drake May has right now. His offensive line, he might have the worst offensive line of any rookie quarterback of the last 20 years. And I'm not just saying that. There's a tweet with an analysis with charts and graphs and things that shows that he might have the worst offensive line in the last 20 years of any rookie quarterback. And Drake May is still making plays. Tua is – we've been down this road a million times. He executes the offense very well. Gets the ball out. You guys know all about Tua, but I think he's still kind of a limited ceiling kind of quarterback, and I think Drake May, his potential is through the roof right now.
Hawk, send Ben your video, that triple option you ran in high school. He was sweet, Ben. He was coming.
I don't even want to read, Ben, the texts that are coming in on the text line because they've never been like this before.
Hey, Ben, why the hell – was it a mistake not to start Drake then? Because they had Jacoby in there. Should they have started him?
I don't know about that because, I mean, look, Drake May is clearly the better quarterback. But so he missed five games. He sat for the first five games. The offensive line was so bad. The receivers are so bad. it gave the team a little bit of time to, you know, figure some things out, for Drake to see how everything goes. So, like, maybe 1 or 2 weeks earlier they could have played him, and it probably would have gotten them an extra win, but it's, you know, more injury risk. And, like, right now, Drake, I would, like, if I were Drake May, I would shut down right now for the year. You have nothing left to prove. You have shown everyone that you're a very good quarterback, and there's nothing around you right now. And if Drake May gets hurt, that, you know, like, you know, has to have, suffers a serious injury and has to spend the offseason rehabbing from surgery, that would be a disaster for the Patriots. So, like, he could shut it down right now, and he's proven his point. And the season is success for the Patriots because they've at least identified their franchise quarterback. But, yeah, he's been fantastic. And it's not just me. I've got an article coming out tomorrow that, I mean, everywhere you look around the league, people are like, wow, Drake May is really good. I mean, Kurt Warner, Dan Orlovsky, Ross Tucker, guys from the Rams. Everyone was and this past week against the Rams was Drake May's best game because he wasn't just running around. He was making plays from the pocket. It was very impressive. And if he had a coach with any stones who would go for it on fourth down, the Patriots probably would have won that game instead of settling for so many field goals and punts. But I'm telling you guys, I'm generally a hater. I'm generally loath to give rookies credit, but I think Drake May is the real deal, and he's going to be a really good player for the Patriots.
Hey, Ben, settled debate that Hawk Crowder and I were having in the previous segment. So, you know, the list of the semifinalists came out for the Hall of Fame class of 2025. Eli Manning famously on that list. Is Eli Manning, and I think it matters to ask you because you've been in the New England era area, is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer?
I think he's going to get in. I personally would think long and hard about it. I mean, obviously, you know, without the two playoff runs, he's not getting in. You know, his regular season stats don't really match up his playoff success other than those 2 years, you know, isn't enough. But the fact that he did win those two Super Bowls and he started 16 games every year for so long, you know, he's very durable. And the fact that he's in New York, like, he is going to get in, but, and I'm not being like a, this is not me being a Patriots homer because I really don't care less, but I think he's a very borderline candidate for the Hall of Fame.
And speaking of giant quarterbacks, explain to me this damn Daniel Jones thing. So they pay him and he can't play. So they make him play scout team safety. They jump over Drew Lock, who was second, to go to Tommy DeVito. Like, I'm so confused by their decision making with the Giants.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre. And you got to feel for Daniel Jones, who did nothing wrong except sign his name on a contract that paid him a lot of money. And now the Giants want to get out from it, which is their right too. So, you know, he's got a $23 million injury guarantee next year where it's hard to collect that, but if he kept playing and if he suffered some big injury and he couldn't pass a physical in March, they'd have to owe him that $23 million. So they've decided we're going to move on. The Daniel Jones era is done here. So they're just completely putting him on ice so that he doesn't get hurt. And he was out there today as fourth string quarterback playing like some scout team safety, but he might like end up leaving the team and they might just say, hey, why don't you go home for the rest of the year instead of humiliating him like this. They owe Daniel Jones better than to humiliate him like what he went through today. And if they're just going to keep him on ice, they should just kind of send him home for the rest of the season. As for Tommy DeVito, the only thing that makes sense, unless Drew Lock's has been so bad that DeVito jumped him, which I think is possible, but I think it's more about the Giants. They still have like four home games this year and they need fans to keep, you know, interest in the team and to stay relevant in the local market. And fans love Tommy DeVito. He's a good story. He's the local kid from Jersey and all that. So I just think this is the Giants kind of cynical way to keep, you know, stay relevant and keep the fans interested when they've benched their starting quarterback and made him their fourth string. So it's a mess there in New York. And I got to think that Brian Daboll has gotten some assurances that he'll be okay, because I don't know if you're on the hot seat, I don't know if you want to bench your best quarterback and make him your fourth string. So hopefully for Brian Daboll, this means that he's going to be safe for next year.
Who would you rather have, Lamar Jackson or Drake May?
Lamar Jackson. Definitely Lamar Jackson. Although, I mean, that was not a great performance against the Steelers last week.
Rank the quarterbacks in the AFC East right now. Drake May, and then who are the next three?
Right. Drake May, huge gap. Josh Allen, huge gap. Hey, you know what? Drake May is already getting compared to, like, people are already talking about him like he's Justin Herbert, which I think is a fair comparison. Herbert's got all the tools, but, you know, he just hasn't won games yet.
Your answers about Drake May have been Trump-like, where you keep saying people are saying, everyone's saying, and I haven't seen anyone say any of this.
Well, because you live in a little bubble in Miami, and you don't, you know, you don't seek out.
Yeah, I haven't seen Barry Jackson say this at all. Let me know when Clay Ferrero says this. Oh, these people are. Ben Volen from the Boston Globe. You have outdone yourself, Ben.
I'm telling you guys, Drake May, you're going to be impressed when you see
him.
Yeah,
we got it. We understand where you stand on this. We got it.
I just ordered my jersey, Ben.
All right. We'll see you, Ben.
All right, boys. Enjoy.
Ben Volen from the Boston Globe. He brought it strong. There you go. Patriots Dolphins on Sunday. Gave you a little bulletin board material for radio listeners. No one else, but for radio listeners, good bulletin board material.
Drake May's overs.
I'm taking the unders. He was so wrong. Mac Jones, I'm taking all the unders. I think we're going to see Jacoby Brissett before the season's over, based on how much love he just gave him there. All right, 5 o'clock, Funky Buddha Happy Hour is coming up. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You smell that? You feel it?
What's that?
Hialeah.
Hawk and Crowder.